Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast with Pastor Stephen right here in Panama City, Florida, Highland Park Baptist Church. And we are bright and early on a Tuesday morning. It was bright and early for me. It's not bright and early for you boys, but...
Yeah, unless you're watching this broadcast on Sunday night at 11
o'clock. Well,
we're
recording bright and early, so it's no telling. Late. No telling what's going to happen.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it is an early broadcast recording, early recording, which is okay. It's fine.
Yeah,
we had things we had to do later today, and so with Memorial Day, not Memorial Day, Labor Day. I always mix those two up. Labor Day, it kind of threw us off just a little bit in the recording schedule. You guys are very busy with your lives, and you're like Crocodile Dundee. Except you're hunting coyotes though, right? Or is it wolves?
It's coyotes.
Is it black panthers?
Yeah, it's black panthers. That's what we're doing.
Coyotes. There's a lot of coyotes up
there.
I know it, man. I hear them at night.
Yeah. We're just having fun.
I tell you what, when we were in Kenya, we got up close and personal with some hyenas.
No.
Now those hyenas, coyotes are weird, but I think they still got a little bit of like dog in them. Those hyenas, they're like they would bite their own tail off. I mean, they can't even run. It's weird.
They're ugly.
Yeah, man. They're.
Like when you say you got up close, like.
I mean, I was in a truck, but I mean, 10 feet away.
Oh.
Yeah, 10 feet away. He didn't want any part of us. Now, if we'd gotten on the ground, it'd been different.
Yeah.
Ugh. This guy was, it was weird. He was by himself, which. The guide said, yeah, they usually travel in packs, so he didn't know. He said, this guy may have gotten kicked out or something.
Mm.
Or he might have been chasing an ostrich, you know. There was an ostrich, you know, that we saw not far from him that had a clipped wing or something. Something had been trying to chew on it.
How long was that little safari? Like, was it like an all-day thing?
So, no. A couple of hours. The we got there to the park, the safari park, late one afternoon, and so we said, hey, let's go ahead and let's do a drive this afternoon for 2 hours, see if we see anything. We saw a lot of things, but we didn't see the cats. And so we got up early. It's about 6 a.m. the next morning to go out, and went out for a couple more hours, thinking, all right, you know, we'll see the cats. And we didn't. That was so disappointing. We saw no tigers, no lions, and so I don't know. That's really what we want to see the most. But it's kind of a neat deal.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, when you're there, why not do it?
Yeah.
So the.
And then when you said you got up close to a rhino,
got out of the truck.
Nah.
Yeah. There was two rhinos. It was a male and a female, and huge.
Oh.
Unbelievably big. So yeah, at the time you don't even really think about it. Oh yeah, get out, and then we get back in, and my wife's like, you know, all that thing had to do was turn, and we'd been in serious trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Did you think about that? I was more worried about snakes.
Yeah.
All that high grass. It's amazing. It's like 17,000 acres, this preserve.
Mm.
But it was a preserve.
Yeah.
No hunting.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have enjoyed it.
I mean, I enjoy creation.
Okay.
I would have enjoyed it.
Yeah. I hear you. Now, what are you doing? Are you eating those coyotes? What are you? You making jerky out of those coyotes?
No.
No. You just population control?
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
All of our PETA people that watch this program are going to be extremely upset.
On Journey's property, they said that one of the coyote took down a deer.
Woo!
So
there you go.
We, you know,
was that verified or was
just,
that?
Uh, I didn't see a dead deer.
You don't even have to have verification. You're just like, yeah, I'll come.
We just need permission to hunt on the land.
I'll come. I'm there. I'll take him down.
Permission to hunt on the land. Now, I never said we were very good at it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. Anyway.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Got to have fun some way.
Yeah.
Got to have fun some way. I didn't know if you were making like a coyote. A ground coyote for your burgers or something like that.
I'm not touching them.
Yeah. I buy my meat at Publix.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go.
All right.
That's good, man. That's good.
Daniel chapter 6.
That's right. You know,
Daniel chapter 6.
Lord told Peter, rise up and eat. Rise up and eat.
So. I do. I do like to hunt. I do.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I just never got into it much. So.
Well, some people look at me and go, I can't imagine you wearing camouflage. I'm like, well, I mean, you have to wear it based off the type of hunting that you're. Anyway, but people look at me and go, there's no way that you hunt. I like to hunt.
You look like a Duck Dynasty guy. What are they talking about?
I don't know, man.
Do you tight roll your camo?
No, I don't tight roll my camo.
That's probably what they mean, Journey. Is he tight roll his camo?
I bet he's got some fancy looking boots.
I guarantee. He's probably got some of those. Johnny O.
No.
Johnny O pants, camos. So yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
So yesterday, my son, who's a senior this year, and he plays high school basketball and baseball. Anyway, he was like, "Hey, man, Dad. Today is tryouts for fall baseball." He won't be able to do much fall baseball because of basketball. But and honestly, I mean, if he doesn't make tryouts, then there's been a great drop in ability and talent. But he said, I'd like to go out to the field and, you know, hit and maybe take some ground balls and stuff like that. And I said, well, yeah, call some of your buddies. I know some are in from college that play college baseball. And because I don't throw with him anymore. He just got too much velocity, man. I don't have reaction time.
Yeah.
He's a 54-year-old man. And anyway, he said, Dad, nobody could do it. He goes, yeah, we won't be out there long. And I'm like, okay. And so we go out there in the cage, and I say cage, it's netting.
Yeah.
And so I'm there, you know, you get the net close, you know, underhand toss, try to bring the ball in faster. And so I'm behind the net, and I said, man, buddy, I don't know about this. I said, he goes, man, you got protection, Dad. He goes, you know, I said, yeah, but man, you hit the ball a lot harder than the last time I've been in here. And I'm telling you, I was behind the net and everything, and he hits a shot.
Cranked it, huh?
That goes through the net and nails me in my shin. And so I've got this huge egg right on my shin. And
dang.
It was probably like 10 feet away from me, if that. And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
that hurts.
Yeah. It hurts more now than it did then. Yeah. You know, at first it shocked me. And we had fun, I guess. I hobbled back in the house, and I'm like, that's why I don't do this.
Yeah.
You got to call somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 54. There's a reason why you've never heard of an MLB 54-year-old pitcher. So maybe I should get him hunting coyotes.
There you go. Come on.
But there you go. So I'm kind of,
you're going to hobble along today.
Hobbled up a little bit. Well, you know, I mean, I got bad blood flow, man. I'm an old man. So it'll probably take 2 years for that to heal up. It was good. It was a good day. Good day. I say relaxing day. I did the yard and everything.
Yeah.
Else.
So did I.
Yeah. Wanted to get in the pool, but didn't. It was kind of a good day, wind blowing and kind of chill, not real hot. I thought it was.
It was a good day.
And 60s this morning here in Florida.
Yeah, I got my doors off, man.
It's crazy.
Feels so good.
60s.
Journey,
here.
You got your doors off?
I'm not driving Jeep right now.
Yeah. Hey, don't bring the Jeep up to
That's
Journey.
A sad
it's,
day,
yeah,
man.
It's not going to be a good conversation.
We'll pray about that.
Yeah. Journey and his Jeep's like a love-hate relationship.
I got one you can buy. Here we go. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, the lion tamer.
The lion tamer.
This is the, I was thinking about this the other day, Sunday, whenever you were walking through this text. Like, I think a lot of times, like, we hear this Daniel in the lion's den story, and even as adults, we just kind of chalk it up to, oh, that's just the kid's story. They learn that in children's ministry, and, you know, we learned that when we were kids. But whenever you start to unpack this as a Christ follower, as an adult, as somebody who's studying scripture, you start to unpack this, man, there is a lot there. It's just more than a kid's story.
Like, yeah, well, and you bring that up. I was talking to a group of individuals, Wednesday evening, and who were basically talking about how, you know, man, they really are mature in their faith, and they really, you know, need to go deeper.
Yeah.
And they know the Bible stories, and I said, well, whoa. I said, no, hang on.
Yeah.
The Bible stories are not for kids.
Right.
And, you know, there is great biblical precepts and principles in Bible stories. And especially when you you kind of insert yourself in that scenario, how would I respond? What would I do? What can I learn? I went home that night and as I was driving home, I was just like, God, please never let me get to the point where I think, oh, I'm above that, or I can't learn anymore.
Right.
Because I can't tell you how many times I've probably read and even taught Daniel in the lion's den, but every single time, man, he shows me something new, and it may apply to a different situation in my life, a different season in my life. Just the 54-year-old Stephen, not the same as he was at 34.
Yeah.
And 34-year-old Stephen thought he had the world by the tail, right? And, 54-year-old Stephen, we're like almost getting close to 3 years on a cancer journey with the wife. And so it's a different context where you are. Now, we know it doesn't change.
You're just hanging on right now.
Just pressing in. Well, I'm barely able to walk. I can't even play toss with my kid. And clearly he wasn't throwing as hard as he could. Things change in life. Yeah. So no, I appreciate that. And to me, one of the main things that really jumped out is, and I think we overlooked this, but those guys did everything they could to find something against Daniel.
Yeah.
So they could take him down.
Yeah.
And the only thing they could find is, probably has something to do with his God, man. That's the only thing. The only thing we can find that could probably cause problems is he just loves his God too much.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, that someone would say that about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing wrong with that guy is he just loves God too much. Oh, what a great description.
Well, and, you know, as you were setting up this whole sermon, you know, you kind of took a snapshot of Daniel's life, and, you know, consistently Daniel worshiped and prayed and served the one true God. And, you know, and then even later on, as, you know, like you said, they're trying to find something against this. So they fabricated some sort of rule. And, you know, what did Daniel do? Like the thing that got me is he opened his window to pray. You know, he's not ashamed of what he was doing. He was bold in his prayer life, bold in serving the one true God. And
well, it was a natural outflow because the scripture tells us, as was his custom, three times a day since his early days. Yeah. So it wasn't, oh, now that they have a law, I'll open up my window to really stick it to the king.
Right.
He's just like, no, I'm gonna do what I always do because I know this is pleasing to God, you know. And I have folks that'll ask me all the time, you know, when should you commit civil disobedience?
Mm.
Or if the government passes a law, then when should you obey or not obey that? And a lot of times folks will ask that around tax season because they want to say, well, you know, I don't believe I ought to pay my taxes because I'm a Christian. I'm like, you being a Christian has nothing to do with you paying your taxes. Right. I guess you could be a Christian in Switzerland or something, but if you're in America, you're going to pay your taxes.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, it's the law of the land. should they ever say, pass a law that says you cannot, something that God has very clearly told us to do in his word, then that's when civil disobedience would happen.
Yeah.
And that's the case here with Daniel. A lot of times, though, we want to we want to call it, civil disobedience, but really it's, I don't like doing that. I don't want to do that anymore. And it has something to do with personal disobedience than it does something that is causing us to do something that God would tell us to do. So I love the fact that, here's a guy, he's consistent. Man, I just think that word consistent.
Yeah.
He's on king number three now.
Huge.
King number three.
Yeah.
And all three of these kings, right or wrong, I mean, you know, they all respected him for his faith. They all trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here he is 80 years of age, and they're still calling on him. They're still, hey, and I love the fact that Darius even says, hey, man, don't worry, your God will deliver you.
Yeah.
Now, we know he struggled maybe with that night because Darius wasn't able to get rest and doing all the things that he did, hoping that Daniel would be there the next morning. And but I would say he saw the way that Daniel lived his life and saw how faithful he was. And he said, hey, man, listen, at the end of the day, I believe your God's gonna be able to be there for you.
Yeah.
So a life of consistency means a lot.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of give us these things about how Daniel lived, and you know, your first one is that he lived a life of purity. But that goes, you know, we hear the word purity and we think one thing, but you start looking and again peeling that layer back a little bit, and you know, Daniel was trusted. He had integrity. He had honesty. And you know, you look at just those two words in today's culture, integrity and honesty, and it's so lacking. I was doing some research. I say research. I Googled something the other day as I was trying to prepare for a talk with our young adults, and I was just trying to look at something, and you know, I was looking at the top evangelical pastors in 2025.
Mm.
That's what I searched. Okay. Top evangelical pastors in 2025. And the list is absolutely staggering. Google doesn't understand what evangelical means.
Well, and I'd say a lot of the church doesn't understand
what evangelical means. And then, you know, a majority of those people on that list had some sort of major moral failure recently. And I understand things happen. Okay, I get that.
Right.
But the financial things, like Peter, and integrity and honesty is so lacking. And
well, I think we've changed the definition of integrity. I mean, integrity is what you do when no one else is around or watching, what you do when no one else is there. I think we have changed the definition of integrity to be what you do and you don't get caught. That's a person of integrity. Yeah. And it's amazing. I just – the cutting the corners and just taking a little bit here and a little bit there and – I think if that had been the case in Daniel's life, I mean, let's just go back to when he was a teenager, man. If he would have said, "I'll take a little bit of this," you know, I made the statement. Goodness, when we first started the book of Daniel, had there been no Daniel in the dining room, we would have never heard about Daniel in the lion's den.
Yeah,
just that. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to be one man one place and another man another place. And that is even evident to those pagans.
Yeah.
And we know that's the reason why he had difficulty to begin with, because he was just being a faithful employee of the king. Yeah. And the other ones got mad because he was, quote, showing them up.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a little side note as well that we tried to bring out Sunday morning is, you know, as a Christ follower, you ought to be the best employee that your boss has ever had.
Yeah.
As a Christ follower, you know, whether you work for a Christian boss or not a Christian boss, man, you don't cut corners. You don't steal, you don't lie, you don't abuse the liberties that you may have.
Yeah.
You, when you're at work, you're doing an honest day's work. Man, it's, we've all been at places of employment to where those who profess Christ are the ones that are, you know, dogging the boss and, you know, lazy, and they don't want to do anything. And it just gives, it gives Christians a bad rep and a bad name. And so why in the world or how are we going to earn the right to be heard when we're not even a good employee?
Yeah.
And when we approach it as this is my mission field, my boss is my mission field. The only authority, the Bible says, the only authority that anyone has is that authority which God has allowed them to have.
Yeah.
So I'm going to honor them because I'm going to honor God. And I'm going to work as though I'm working with Jesus as my boss, because if you look at the big picture, that's really what's happening.
Yeah. That's a whole podcast in itself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Man, I think attitudes would be revolutionized. I mean, what I loved how it described Daniel here. It says he had excellent spirit, which means that he had a good attitude.
Yeah.
He's 80 years old. He's seen a few things.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been through a few things. You know, he easily could have said, hey, look, man, I'm retired.
Yeah, I'm done.
Nah, I don't do that junk anymore.
I quit. Yeah.
No. But, you know, no, man, hey, I want to be used by God while I still have the opportunity to be used by God, while I'm still alive. And, man, I'll come. And notice he even says a couple of times in the book of Daniel when he's talking to kings, oh, king, live forever. That basically is just a sign of honor and a sign of respect for the position that the king had.
Yeah.
And I just think that God brought Daniel into these kings' lives. I mean, we see it here because he had the opportunity to speak into the king's lives. And I'm going to say, as a result, you know, nations were changed.
Yeah.
Because Daniel was there and Daniel was faithful. And I don't think Daniel ever approached it as what would be best for me.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to honor the one true God, because at the end of the day, people in hell aren't debating a 40-year career in, I'm not going to pick an occupation because somebody, I think I'm picking somebody out. But,
right.
But God honors faithfulness and God uses it in a mighty way. So for those that are listening that are Christ followers and you're like, man, I work for a boss that's just, you know, he's a pagan, he doesn't love Jesus, and be a faithful employee, be a person of integrity.
Yeah.
You never know that within itself might give you that opportunity to tell the greatest thing that has ever happened in your life the day that you were saved. So I appreciate the example that Daniel sets, but you're right, a life of purity.
Well, and then even a life for prayer, and we touched on that, you know, again, just the consistency and the boldness of his prayer life, that, you know, the outgrowth of that was far beyond probably what we can see in Scripture. And like you said, nations and kings were touched and changed by just Daniel and his prayer life, his consistency, boldness, like just... so huge. And again, I just think it's one of those things we overlook. We overlook consistency and boldness when it comes to prayer. You even say, you know, prayer accomplishes much. And yeah, we can dive into that and try to figure out that conundrum. But, you know, Scripture tells us to pray.
Well, there was three ways that this could have played out for Daniel. First of all, he could have said, what's the law of the land now? I'm not going to do that anymore. He can't stop me from praying in my heart, you know.
Right.
But he didn't follow it that way. A lot of folks would have said, well, I would pray, but now, you know, I've got to do what the law says.
Yeah.
And then the spectrum is, here's a guy who never prayed at all, and then there was a law that came about, and so for showmanship, because he wanted everyone to see just how faithful he was, just how much he really loved God, man, I'm going to go up and open my window, and I'm going to pray extra loud so they'll all know just how spiritual old Daniel is. And we know he didn't do that. So I'm so thankful that in there it says he did what he did every day ever since he was, well, it just says early days, ever since he was a child or a young man.
Yeah.
He just continued to do. He was continued to be faithful to what he had always done.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to be. God, I want this just to kind of come from the overflow of my life, not, I don't want there to be a crisis to drive me to my knees. Mm. I want to already be there.
Yeah.
And it just be naturally what happens. When bad times are happening, pray. When good times are happening, yeah. pray. When everything's just kind of even keel, pray. That just, I want it to be who I am.
I don't want a crisis to drive me to my knees. I already want to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
Man.
That's solid. That's a t-shirt quote yeah. right there.
We may have to see about marketing that.
But I think that's the mode that people take.
It is.
That, you know, and I'm just going back to people I know in my life who have gone through crisis moments. Like that's when I would see them back in church.
Yeah.
Something bad would happen, they would be back in church. And then all of a sudden, you know, things kind of get on a better path, and now they're yeah. absent. And
yeah, they live with this attitude of, I don't need God until I need God.
Yeah.
And no, man, follow the example of Daniel.
Yeah.
Let it just be this natural thing that you don't have to have something major taking place in your life. Oh, man, you know what? I should be a person of prayer. No, man, go ahead and just... I'm going to be that person now because it's very valuable to me to communicate and to listen to what my God has to say. And it's that relationship.
I'm going to use that one, man.
Yeah, feel That's free. I don't even remember what I said, to be honest with you. So
I got it.
Maybe you write that down to remind me from time to time.
It's locked in. Yeah. The last one, he lived a life of peace. You know, again, you know, you lived this life of purity. You lived this life of prayer, you know, part of that. That byproduct is going to be living a life of peace.
Sure. Know? Well, I mean, we sit there and we look, and the statement that I drew out of Scripture was, you know, here's the king. I would say if there's anybody in this kingdom that's going to have peace, it's the king, because the king's the palace. The king's not worried about lions, you know, nipping on his heels. The king's not worried about anything because, I mean, stop and think. Not only is he king, but for the next 30 days, they're praying to him.
Yeah.
He's their God.
Yeah.
I mean, can you get any higher on the, you know, the popularity poll? But he has no peace at all because he's worried what's happening to his friend, somebody he respected. But this is probably one of the few times in this guy's life that he thinks he does not have control over the situation.
Mm.
Because once he signed the law of the Medes and Persians, you couldn't change it.
Yeah.
It was done.
Yeah.
And so he had been tricked into doing that. And so maybe the argument, we'd have to flesh it out. The Bible probably doesn't talk a whole lot. But probably one of the few times in his life, here he is the king, they're calling him God. And yet he's not in control of the situation.
Yeah.
He has no peace at all. Mm. And here's the guy who we would say is not in control of the situation. Yeah. He's in a lion's den, but he understood who was in control of the situation.
Mm.
And goes back to those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, man, our God's able to deliver us. And if he does, awesome. If he doesn't, we're still not going to worship anyone else.
And God proved it.
And God proved it. He didn't have to.
Yeah.
Because he's still faithful.
Mm.
But he did. And that within itself is peace.
Yeah. Well, man, as always, man, this Daniel's been such a good series. But thank you for pointing us to Jesus. And thank you for pointing us to the truth of Scripture. We'll see you next time right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.